George doesn't have a searchable inventory on mine. I want T-head channel bolts. I ended up having to buy them from some place in California because I couldn't find them. You don't want to have, you can tell them later.
Because they have different pricing at every store and they don't want to have to put the pricing on the internet.
I see.
Anybody recognize this? Not on here. I decided to lift it. We all like the turtle in my house. So. That's probably the only thing I like about this fish.
Kenny, did you buy your expensive alarm clock yet?
My expensive what?
Alarm clock?
No.
Your Linux alarm clock?
No, I don't. Because
your laptop can do everything that does, and a few other things too.
Yeah. No, I thought about it, and I just...
I thought it was pretty pricey for what you got there.
Yeah. Hey, did you see a lot of them? I thought my alarm clock died. This was, you know, so I was looking out for a new one. They don't even really make it.
Regular iPod. Oh,
regular
alarm clocks.
Yeah.
You could go retro.
Yeah, they do make some, but not really.
Yeah, you could have to go retro, get one of those ones with the little hammer that goes.
Yeah.
That's what I need first in the morning, right?
Well, that's the point. You love that.
No. No.
Don't have to. But for some people, that's what it takes. Now, sometimes I must turn, hit the snooze on mine, because I'm like, what just happened? It's already like, half an hour later.
What you gotta have is some type of ratchet system on the bed, and you set the alarm clock far off, so as soon as you get off the bed, ratchet system just... And now you can't lay back down until you like enter like a combo or something.
Yeah, I have to admit, I did have to put the alarm clock across the room because if, you know, if I didn't get up to shut it off, I would shut it off and never would do it, but I did it.
I've obviously done that.
The ones that I hate are the ones that it's easier to shut it off than hit the snooze. So you end up shutting it off because it's easier.
Yeah, that's not good.
Depends how bad you want to keep your job, I guess.
You gotta make sure the snooze is easily accessible and the off is not.
I can go on the college.
Up down. Put it in another room and just have the door locked behind you.
There's always the floor.
Anybody read about this new Intel stuff with the multi-core? And there was a posting somewhere that I saw. I just didn't get a chance to read much of it. But Intel's coming out with a new processor architecture that's supposed to be really hot stuff, less power. Somehow parts of the it combines the memory and the processor on the main chip.
The memory.
And then it shuts down areas that it isn't using, so it's not one of these discussions about trading off performance against efficiency. They're giving you both, basically, you know, performance.
The current processors do that a little bit, where they'll turn off certain parts of the processor if they're not being used. Especially in video cards, they do that.
There was some conference out somewhere, I guess in the West Coast. It was a big conference, and I forget which one it was, but there was one of the main papers, either BBC or New York Times or somebody, had an article, and I just didn't get a chance to really look at it very much.
I wonder if maybe that's the answer to AMD's future.
Yeah, it is exactly. Yeah, as a matter of fact, they're saying they're basically expecting push them to either come up with another innovation or make them second choice.
We came in last night.
But I've never liked those AMD processors because they delaminate. They tend to, you know, fail, the layers somehow peel apart. And,
never had a problem.
Never trusted them for that. Not the system, but some I think it's just the cache memory, I think, or something, but it's right on the chip instead of, you know, as a separate thing. That's over my head. I mean, most of that technical discussion is beyond what I really know, but I was trying to get someone to explain practically what would I notice different in terms of...
Oh, yeah, they have on-die cache.
They'll usually have like 256K on die, and then off the die, they'll have like a megabyte or two cache.
Let me see if I can find this. That's true.
But I know AMDs are putting a memory controller in on their chips right now, whereas Intel's are not. So the AMD, it's got a direct interface to memory, and then it's got another direct interface that goes out to the video card or the cell fridge. So the AMD motherboards don't actually have a NOR fridge at all. It's all right on
you like the launcher microphone?
Processor.
Yeah, that'd be great. Thanks.
So do you want to do a formal invitation?
That's just the left one.
Hello and welcome. If you're listening, you probably already know that this is the Eau Claire Linux user group, and we are broadcasting live, pseudo-live, or in recording from Cafe 420 in Eau Claire. Hello.
Awesome.
All right, yeah.
Still have to work on the theme music.
All right, so Losh is out this week. He's seeing the grand faces in South Dakota. He dropped off my audio stuff for me to use this week.
See?
How nice of him.
Yeah.
Always good to others.
Alright. I'm not a good meeting manager, so I'm, I don't know. I haven't been here a lot lately either, so vacation and missing, but do you want to start at the end and we'll go around this way?
I kind of pretty much told you what was new for this week with the key kit stuff and all that. That's pretty much it.
And somebody new?
Yeah, we have somebody new.
Somebody new.
So introduce yourself and tell us what brings you here.
Okay, I'm Homer Dow. I use Linux on my desktop, on an IBM R40 laptop, and even your family machine. My kids have learned how to operate on this Mayo Linux. Been enjoying. Getting to know Linux, starting out with Red Hat 9 and now and Debian.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, actually, I like Debian best.
Yeah. I tried an Opex install on the hard drive, and that was kind of fun to play with.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm looking forward to the release of the Linux. Because I'm still running Sarge.
Yeah, actually, my desktops, I have Debian systems on. These guys talk me into putting Ubuntu on my Dell laptop.
Yeah, they don't know what they're talking about. Fedora all the way.
How does it work for you?
It's good. It's okay. The only thing that really doesn't work, quite right, is the webcam, which I do have a program that will work with it. But for some reason, most of the webcam stuff that Ubuntu has in their normal distributions, for some reason, can't handle the palette. It's that YV palette.
I actually saw something, and that is a very, very common palette for webcams. So something.
Yeah, well, that one. What I really wish I could use is Panorama, because that does a stream, and I've got that one that does the uploads of the single frame change. And the guy who wrote that Panorama in his readings, the documentation that comes. He says if you have a palette problem, write to him. He wants to know about that. I just haven't done it.
I read something on webcams and Linux, and they said that 60-70% of webcams actually use that YUYV.
I was surprised. Yeah, I was surprised it didn't just work out of the box.
Maybe there's something else going on.
No, that's it, because that's the one with that FS web webcam. That's the only change I have to make from all the default settings that all the other things use, and that immediately produces a picture. So
maybe it's
thinking that maybe it's just not detecting right, but the software actually supports it, but it thinks it's another pipe for some reason, maybe something in the
right. Yeah, could be. Well, I'll write the guy as soon as I get around to it and see what he's got to say.
So where did you hear about the group?
Well, I was a member of the Double Billings Legion group in Billings, Montana. I just moved in from Montana and decided to look around and see who was here.
Oh, okay. Plus, you're a lovely in Montana?
Yes. Cool. Which was about, let's see, for my last vacation, it was about 4 hours away.
Hopefully you're closer this time, or?
Yeah, I'm right over in Altoona now. Okay. Staying with my in-laws as we look for a place to settle.
It's a little bit more convenient.
Yeah.
Well, you were at one number that is driving about an hour again.
Oh, he comes after us, doesn't he?
Yeah, we're really? Kind of starting to blow us because I'm here this week to take his kids to college. He should get back next week. He puts the newsletter together for us.
Are most of the people here desktop users or some service operator?
I think we've got a pretty varied amount of experience between, I play with phones at home, but not at a demo level. We've got a huge distinction, right?
Well, yeah, it's hard to get to play Linux and not get into the service stuff. That's just so easy. It's just like, come on, let's do it. Okay.
I'm a programmer, guys, so I play around with it, from a programming standpoint. So that's very similar to using it for a server as well. Kind of dabble into that.
The majority of it is a desktop, on a laptop, and that.
What distros are most people using?
You want to do it right here.
I'm pretty much, me and you are probably the only ones that don't use it.
Well, yeah, well, this is it. Debian is. I like Linux myself. Yeah, I mean, Loesch tends to favor Ubuntu, or at least mm-hmm. I think he's actually moved off that exclusive. I mean, I kidded him at first that he should call this the Ubuntu user group.
He started with Suzy.
Yeah.
And he liked it quite a bit. I think it was the package manager, he asked that he couldn't get used to and tried it. Lately, though, he's been really. Frustrated.
Yeah, he didn't like the latest update. For the 804 seemed to break some things for him that he didn't like.
It's an MP3 player.
The OTP file support for certain music players. And I have the same problem too. My wife's got an old player. I was going to put some Iron Maiden on it for my little boy. I can't do anything with it. I can plug it in, I can drag files onto it, except it's copying in there. But they go in and it's someplace. It's pretty homolic stuff. I don't know what it is. Loesch went as far as reinstalling 7.10.
Yeah, well, that's what I still did. This is 7.10 that I have on here. I like that. Yeah. The 7.10 works for me. So, I usually wait till everybody solves the problems on the new releases before I go.
Yeah.
I have one kind of crazy cutting. Let's see. It's Sarge, and then it was Sid.
Yeah.
And then Lenny's the one we're waiting for. The one I have now is kind of. A hybrid of Sarge and Sid, and I do have problems with that. Things aren't really stable, but it's not a production machine, so it's all a train layout for me. So I like to fool around with it and see what works and what doesn't.
True to form, I've been trying to move to something. Can't get it to work. Mm-hmm.
I've used Red Hat, SUSE, and
I've used Fedora since Red Hat 6, and never really used anything else. That's pretty much what I'm thinking of.
I think the next laptop I buy, I'm going to buy something out of the box.
So the what?
Something with Linux out of the box. I think it's a big deal.
Well, that's why I chose the 710 on this, because they're selling exactly this 1525 in Europe with this Ubuntu system pre-installed. So I figured that was a good match.
Yeah. We've got to be part on our website somewhere to get all the drivers.
Well, there's only one restricted driver here, really, which is that wireless, the Broadcom wireless, But that's not actually always exactly the wireless that's on all these computers. They sell some, different flavors of the same model, and some people have other cards on there. So.
Isn't there one model at Broadcom that actually has the source drivers? I think that's the one, the only wireless card that really...
Well, the Sun system, that Solaris system, I have the Broadcom drivers that came with that, worked with the. Well, it's not a wireless, but it's the onboard NIC is Broadcom, and it just worked right out of the box.
It's funny how we like to work right out of the box, even Windows, 5 years
ago, even now it doesn't. I just
made
I can't understand tracking down drivers to get it to run.
That whole idea that with Windows everything works is such a myth. It's not true at all.
It comes packaged with your hardware.
And especially with Vista. Especially with Vista, they didn't have drivers for all kinds of things. People were complaining about no drivers. It was just all
webcams, for you. I always hear these, how hard is it to install Windows? Linux is so hard to install. People shouldn't be installing it. They should just get it like they do with Windows. Windows is way more difficult to install than Linux, but nobody ever focuses on that. It took me over an hour and a half to install Windows properly. Where in Linux, I put into this, I walk away, I come back, it's done. Well, I knew what I was doing because I had to do it so often.
Network card, oddly enough, I had to use a different computer to get on the internet.
Yeah, I always love that.
Not on a desktop machine. It's built into the motherboard. And
Windows came with no network drivers. It came with any 2000 driver, and that's it.
Yes.
If you wanted to get any other type of network so you could get on the internet and download the other drivers, you had to get on the internet to download the drivers. And before the days of jump drives, that was hard. You had to put on a floppy, and didn't put the floppy in. Oh, bad sector. Okay, I guess I'll go back and do it again. I guess I didn't save it on the PC. I'll go find it again.
I guess so. We got a fair distributions. The people who... I'm trying really hard to move to Suzy for some reason.
They have a funny, arrangement for the file system.
It's a little bit jealous.
Anything that is set up to build on SUSE, you end up having to completely redo the make file before you can build successfully on Debian or Ubuntu systems.
Don't they put a lot of stuff in the console directory too, or SUSE file
I remember I installed an RPM that wasn't a Fedora RPM, and it put something on. It was like, what good is that? That's not going to help me. And I thought it was SUSE, but I don't know.
I was actually trying to play with the KDE 4.1. There's some stuff I think people like about it that worked well. I might actually think about using it.
AAC?
Oh, you must have.
We're listening.
Yes.
Big ass clock. KDE 4.1 BAC.
I found out how to get rid of it.
You can get rid of it, you just can't make it small.
What was the letter about the CD, the paying for the CDs? Anyway.
Oh, it sounds like they're going to be
they were more expensive, I think, than expected.
$1 or $1.30 per CD.
Yeah.
I'm supposed to collect donations. You can all buy me beers, and I will donate for you. One penny per beer, but. Do we want to look at that email, or?
Yeah, I think probably we should. Yeah.
This is his. You have Mint on your laptop now?
I do.
Do you like Mint?
I haven't taken it off, and it's been here for like 2 months, so. that's the longest I've gone in all year, so it probably is, yeah.
So either likes it, or is it admitted defeat?
A little bow on it, I think is what it is. I'm just too tired to put anything new on.
Let's Linux Mint that for. It's basically, it's built on top of Ubuntu. Or they took Ubuntu and they decided to refine it. So it was supposed to have like the best software.
Okay. You've got all your codecs and
smooth
stuff.
Software, yeah.
Yeah, what was it? Their spiel was something particular. They were saying it was...
That it should be a fully featured operating system. Yeah.
The logo's right here.
I just think it's very green.
From Freedom King Elements.
Very green and yellow.
We can make it black. Yeah, they have by default, I don't...
Lots of themes.
The guy's name is Clem, he's from Ireland. So.
Good guy. Yeah. Like one guy.
There might be a few.
Yeah, he did this.
By default. I actually like Wild Mint. It's the first dark theme that actually...
It's a little close to Vista.
Yes. I believe it's from the Aurora GTK engine, which I cannot get to run properly if I install it myself. But for whatever they've done here, it works fine on Linux Mint. It comes built in. So, but if I install the Aurora engine myself, it just doesn't work. So, but he writes here. Can you see that?
I'm surprised he can't find himself a sugar daddy up at his place of employment or something. Don't you think? The Freenet used to find all kinds of people to fund these kinds of things. But Joe Owsley used to work pretty hard at that. Maybe I'm not aware of how much trouble he went to get that stuff.
Just keep bothering people until they give you money.
Works for children.
Yes.
Fundraising. Keep asking until people are annoyed.
Yeah, you're listening to stuff. Pretty well nailed down yet, or
I haven't worked on much since last week. I think we had a pretty good list.
Yeah, I thought it was.
I mean that.
Pretty wide range.
I was supposed to bug you about something.
You ran kind of a wide gamut of
money,
user goals.
But
that may be a good thing. I don't know.
That's
the last
one.
Will be popular or not.
Yeah,
I don't know. In
fact, I usually really pretty much go by what I think is probably not what
they're opinion. Probably
because I don't know if they're. I'm not sure how they're doing. I think they're just making out to.
What?
Let's talk about the CDs for him because.
That's about something called Freedom Software Day, Free Software Day, Free Software Freedom Day. So he's organizing this little thing at the public library where they're going to have some CDs to give out and brochures to inform people about the availability of free software, whether you're doing it in Linux or any other operating system, really. And it's a national thing. There's a website for the Software Freedom Day. It's just basically trying to promote the idea of open source.
So
this is the outside of the panel.
Yep. Elliot's working on the pamphlet here and stuff.
Well, Byron is working on the CD.
What?
Yeah, I thought that looked like you posted that on the homepage of the group, the Yahoo thing. I thought it looked pretty good.
Yeah,
Are we going to all go there and do something? Or are we gonna,
I'm not sure if we've decided if we're actually going.
I don't think that's something we should count too hard on us, because that's bad timing for us sometimes like that. But I'm definitely interested in it happening. I think it's a real good thing.
I think probably it would only be a few of us, probably two or three at most, for shifts, if it's going to be all day or something.
Oh, it sounds like we're going to have an event going on.
Just like a booth.
We're just going to be like, outside the library.
Yeah, the library, the policy at the library is that they can't give us a room, but we could be outside, you know, in front there, and then hand out pamphlets. And they're also willing to have a information, they have several things inside where they have information areas where people, you can leave brochures and posters and things like that for people to see that come and go, but they for some reason cannot sanction an actual affiliation with you for something like that. I don't know either.
It opens up the door to them having to,
yeah, you know, the Ku Klux Klan or somebody will want to do the same thing next weekend or something.
They can't
like
say
that.
No,
right.
We don't allow that. So what do they have a conference room for them if they don't allow anything?
It didn't make much sense to me, you know. I would say in the future, our recommendation would be that you might have to work harder to get it, but you might make a more headway if you put the time into it going over to the university for something like that. They're not really interested in becoming an umbrella for a group like this. And Freenet, they never were willing to take that step with that, but they were opening more facilities than the public library is for some of our activities. So, but it was harder to get to that point, you know, and actually I think with Mimi not being the head of reference, that might not have been quite as easy to swing at that time either. I think that was kind of a foot in the door there, so. But I think, you know, in the long run, that might pay off. You might have a better audience for something like that over there.
I'm just confused on why they have all these conferences.
Is that better, Hamilton?
Well, I think you could use them for private meetings, but not something where
you're expecting crowds to
walk through. Squished or something. I think that's why.
Yeah. But yeah, I don't know. I'm thinking CD probably something like this right here, but having it just mono color. Some type of outline.
That'll be cheaper to print.
I mean, that would work. $3
Did you take all that artwork off of the SOP?
I started with it, and then the rest of the stuff is from our team.
Okay. So we're just going to have a banquet table sitting outside with CDs on it and brochures to promote
open source software and free software.
Okay.
And
it's going to be branch chicken.
So open source software, so people will take it home.
Yeah, I noticed that list. I was in with the list. I didn't understand everything that we were going to do.
We want to focus more on that because it's a lot easier to get somebody a CD and say, here, try this stuff. Oh, this is all free. And then just kind of mention the Linux thing. Just kind of get their foot in the door instead of having to jump head in and have a bad
experience. This stuff's always, I've always heard it's the best way to do it is to start with free software.
The ones who are interested are going to follow it through, and the ones that aren't.
Yeah, and free is like a magic word in Eau Claire. You ever notice, like, you know, whenever these guys get on the news program to announce their activities, like the third word out of their mouth is, and it's free? You know? So.
What are you beginning away? Probably Open Office?
Open Office will be in there, Inkscape, pretty much all the same, you know, things that. The big applications that we want, the Windows version for, or that you have to pay for.
Oh, here we go. This is a sharing list, keep going down.
Oh yeah, as we have the Loesch has a server with the homepage for the group on it.
Oh, really?
Make sure give you the URL for that. And then there's also a Yahoo group that a message board and or Google, is it Google? Yeah, Google group and the file section and stuff. So if you can sort of see
what things are going on by looking at those.
So yeah, OpenOffice is probably the big one. Firefox, for those who don't know about it, Thunderbird, Pigeon.
Anybody use Scribes?
Yeah, actually, that's so who's talking Scribe? That's you, actually. Yes. Yeah.
I used the original version, and it had a long way to go. I haven't used it.
It's getting a lot better. It's filled with features now. I don't know how long ago you used it or tried it out.
Way back.
Yeah, a couple years. Really has come a long way with the features. I just tried it recently, and it looked pretty decent. About maybe 5 or 6 months ago, I tried it, and it had features, but it had some show-stopping bugs. Just things that were annoying, like you'd be working and all of a sudden your canvas would just, and it would like change you to like coordinates, you know, 100,000 by 100,000. So you're sitting there, scroll, back to the canvas, waiting for another 5 minutes, and so I didn't notice that this time. So it looks like it's really coming along. It's making a lot of headway. So I mean, maybe you could take a look at it again. And might be to the point where it's useful. The graphs there actually did most of that in Inkscape, and then I was going to import that from Stratus and try to put in everything else over top of that.
Rose Garden does not have a Windows client.
No, I'm pretty sure not, actually. Thank goodness, dude. I mean, unless you see that program, the better. I think it is so hard to do the simplest things.
What are you trying to do?
Well, I mean, just simple things, like just go, you know, like have something playing off a MIDI device that you want to plug in and just simply record the MIDI device, you know what I mean? You have to go through a whole process of setting up a MIDI device, and I mean, it's just too much there. There's just too much there. It's just
what MIDI device are you trying to record?
Anything. I mean, you know, any device that's playing back a MIDI file. If you want to take a particular channel out or something, and so you can read it in music or something like that, you know, and it just becomes an awful lot of pull down menus and button clicks to get to the point where you can just single out that one channel and record it. You know,
That's been my experience.
Yeah. It works well, but the user interface, I think, is just so complicated compared to what I'm used to using, like with Sonar and Windows or something like that, where you can very easily set those kinds of things up. You know?
I don't know. I guess I never really had a problem with recording. You just pretty much mark the track, go, and it plays through the track, and you can just record the MIDI and it goes into whatever track.
When was the last update they had for Rose Garden? Was it
what?
Developed a lot recently, or is it? Because I thought it was very similar to like a Cakewalk or Sonar.
But the interface is complicated. Things aren't, you know, where you expect them to be. I find it very complicated.
We must have different ideas of complicated and not complicated.
It's probably what you're used to, too.
Because I thought it was actually pretty intuitive, and I tried some other ones, and I had problems using those. So, I don't know, maybe there's two different camps here.
Yeah, it might be just what I'm used to, too.
I played with a Kosher doesn't do MIDI stuff right now, but there's an audio recording interface that's really simple, and it took me forever to figure out how to do the simplest thing, just because I wasn't used to it. So it was, once you get used to it, you're like, wow, that's kind of strange, and then you're like, wow, that's really easy.
And pretty soon it's intuitive.
Pretty, yeah. Once your intuition is shifted, once it assimilates you, then it becomes intuitive.
It just seems that an awful lot of stuff stays up on the desktop all the time. You can't get rid of it. Whereas like in Cakewalk and Sonar and stuff, you can collapse the parts of it that you're not dealing with.
Okay, I'll give you that one. I have two.
But see, when you've got a guitar in your lap and music over here and a keyboard for input here, you start fooling around, you have to worry about the mouse and what your nose is pressing on and so on and so forth. You know, it gets a little bit
That's what I mean by complicated.
Audio software is hard to manage on one screen. I mean,
yeah.
When you get into the mixing boards and the tracks.
Our door is just horrible on one screen. It's completely unusable unless you've got huge resolution.
There's a couple jack plugins I can't even use at 1280 by 800 because they're taller than 800 standard. You just can't use it because you can't get to all the buttons. So.
You can use it. You just gotta hold alt.
But like when I've used Ardour on here, I'll make, you know, four virtual desktops and I'll put the mixer over here. Mm-hmm. Which you can do, but it's kind of a pain to flip back and forth between your workspace and
stuff. You can use Pan too. Maybe there's a reason for that.
I'm not sure.
That's a free day. It's offered.
Yeah, what is the date again? September something.
20th.
Oh, what we're looking for now is money to pay for proceedings for $330.
Unless we can find a place that is cheaper, or unless we
want. Unless Loge's beer is very, very good.
Yeah.
Sell the beer.
Sell beer. Is he making the beer now?
Yeah, he's got it started.
So is it the price to actually have the CDs like with the screen or printing on the laser?
I think what the email said was it was actually a white CD and that was printed on there.
Is that he doesn't print it himself or he does print it with inkjet versions?
We use white inkjet printable media with a clear hub. On this printer, we give it $1 a disc.
Is that just for printing though? Is it $1 per disc and then $1 for printing? For print?
No, I think it's $1 total. To duplicate and print 100 CDs, we'd be looking at $1 to $1.30.
It's good to stay local. I think that's. I'm glad he's staying local.
If you're looking to do a logo text for the direct on this, for example, I think that does mean that it's $1 for the disc.
Well, but it says cut on the top to duplicate and print 100 CDs. We were looking at $1 a unit.
Yep.
So, I mean, that sounds like it's everything. Here's your CD.
Okay. I hope so.
A day or two.
Maybe we could talk him into it. I don't know. It sounds like that's his
maybe he could sponsor it.
That he wasn't like definitely give him some advertising.
Yeah, he might go for that. Sure. Or he might need some help with his bookkeeping software or something. I mean, you know, you can think of some kind of trade, you know, thing for
him.
I'll
give him one CD.
Yeah. I'm sure he'll take it, believe me. You know, just a few test CDs that he'll run for himself. But yeah, you might talk to him about some kind of trade, you know, for some service or something.
Might be nice to get like a
sponsor
or instead of the white inkjet media.
You'll pay more for that.
Yeah, absolutely. It'd look better. I don't know. I can make something.
I got a magic marker.
Yeah, really, that's the thing, too. You know, you could just duplicate the CDs and pen something on it. I mean,
I could just make one, like, standard one, and then I make, like, 5 or 6 copies and get, like, 5 or 6 people with colored pencils, and they can just duplicate it right on the screens.
Of course, we could just take our laptops or desktop up to the table in front of the library, and as people meet them, we'll burn them a CD. Bring your CD, and we'll burn you one.
I don't think so. Lowe said he was willing to chip in a fair chunk of this. If anybody else is, I think he was looking for other people to go in on it. I think I'd be fine with that too.
Yeah, we'll go.
I'll chip in.
He may be.
He will be later.
Count on it.
I don't think he took his laptop with him. refresh the ice cap. Who's
listening?
Somebody's listening.
Can
you tell? Current listeners one.
No. Anyone in the chat room?
Willis is in the chat room.
We'll know in about 10 more seconds.
Yeah.
As the screen catches up.
Yeah, we also do an IRC chat too. We have our own IRC
channel?
Yeah. Yep, there's a free note channel. So if you're listening and you're not in IRC, I think there's a link to it on the website.
Yeah, all this stuff.
Go there and give a shout out. Whatever they call it these days.
I tried Linux MCE.
How did that go?
Well, it worked installed, but it's not real pretty in the interface.
MCE, is that the...
Media Center Edition.
Yeah. Is that the same one that it was for the Xbox and they ported it to Linux? Or, well, ported it to, PC-based installation?
It was something to do with house...
Home automation.
Oh, that's the home automation.
Yeah.
So there's a lot more in it than just the media center.
It's full automation. There was a good demo about half an hour long.
Is it voice recognition?
It does everything.
Is that X10 stuff?
Yes.
Yeah.
That does all the things. It's got the media center built in. You can build your own security system using it,
mm-hmm.
where then it'll actually call you and then do whatever.
With motion sensing.
Motion sensing.
Give you a picture.
Hey, call cops.
Hey, if someone has forced open the podcast.
You know, actually, the demo did actually. You have an intruder in your house. Would you like to, one, call the police, two, cancel, three, talk to the intruder, three,
that's awesome.
And then you have a demo and it's three, get out of my home. It was just like the worst voice acting ever.
Yeah, but wouldn't that freak you out, though?
It would.
I'd be out of there.
Actually, no, he said, I'm watching you, get out of my home.
It'd be better if he said something like, sit down, let me. Did you dare drink out of my jug?
There really was some interesting stuff.
Oh yeah, that's
it did a lot. But all stuff. I'm looking for is an easy way to do video, like movies.
And
I don't know. That's what I'm thinking. I just go for that.
Yeah.
Not to record, but just to play. Right.
Mythdora.
Mythdora is probably one of the better myth distributions.
I think the key though is that. Find hardware that absolutely works with it.
For capture cards, yes.
If you're just playing, you've already recorded it.
Our friend Eric just uses a Crosby machine to squash all the videos.
What
is
it?
Our friend Eric that Thompson.
Yeah.
He just uses that. And it's also kind of neat. It's got like streams set up, like internet streams, so like internet radio.
He listens to the internet. Yeah, Ian listens to internet radio a lot. He'll just, put it on. He's got a few favorite streams and he'll set them up.
Maybe that's the way to go. I'm not sure. And it worked on Pentium 3866.
Yep. For the longest time, you were running it on 733, and it was doing full recording and everything.
Yeah. So it doesn't take long.
I was really, impressed with it. Last week, I tried, we recorded the Olympics. And I tried making a DVD of it. And Mythdora had the menu options, like make DVD. Okay, what type of menu system do you want? I want that one. Okay, I want to fit 4 hours on one DVD. Go.
What?
Yeah.
Put in the DVD. There's your DVD. Stuck it in the DVD player, had the full menu system and everything. It looked great. I mean, it started off as high-def recording, but. Yeah, I made a really nice DVD. No problems, it just worked right out of the box.
I thought it would get Linux MCE a chance to see it.
Well, Linux MCE actually uses MIT-TV on the
media. Yeah, it does.
So it might be just a theme, because I know MIT-TV too starts off with just the ugliest theme that you could ever imagine. And I've got some really nice
feeling for Ubuntu in general.
Yeah, it's not pretty. But they have nice ones. That's
the difference. And I converted my nephew to Linux. I just got him to install it on my platform. may call him on the phone in about 45 minutes, help him get his wireless going.
I don't know how many of you guys would be interested in this. It's a little off topic, but I found this video. It's a project from the University of Washington, and I don't know. They have a demo of it, and it's amazing. It's using photographs to enhance videos. You can take lower quality, low resolution videos.
Why don't we plug him in or give him the URL.
It's kind of long.
Throw it up in the chat.
Put it in the chat. There you go. I have to learn how to do that. I just, for some reason, I have a phobia of IRC. It seems so strange to me to converse with people that way.
It is.
I've been forced into doing it with some tech support stuff, and I've managed to stumble my way through that, but I just find it very uncomfortable. I can't.
It's the same thing with email. It's just different situation talking to somebody directly.
Yeah, well, I have no trouble adjusting the email, I guess.
Well,
I
mean, email is even different than IRC. One of those is just one, a person might come off one way in person and just completely different in email.
That's what I don't like about it. I don't like talking to people on the phone or email. I want to try.
Phone is the same thing.
Phone I can handle a little bit, but email I can't because I can't explain myself on it, and then I can't get the inflection in the voice on how to feel about what I'm saying. The way left?
Because I said about the same thing maybe about 3 weeks ago.
Is there sound? Do we have sound at all?
Exactly.
It's definitely worth watching. It was incredible what they were able to do.
Just making sure that I picked the right word. Yeah. To make sure that I'm saying
it. And the source code is available also. For some version.
In the video? Okay.
While considering videos in touch with the subject of many different artifacts, in this video, see over expressed areas and if the video is a little bit of resolution.
I mean, you still can understand what's going on.
Mm-hmm.
In contrast, digital photographs typically have a much higher resolution and are better exposed. Our goal is to bring some of the benefits of still photography to videos on the static scene. To use our system, use a comprehensive video capture session by taking a few additional photographs. These photographs are used to enhance the video in several interesting ways. For example, you can transfer photographic qualities and proper exposure to the video.
So they're enhancing the frame read ahead by using this.
It actually models the scene.
Mm-hmm.
And
the edit is then automatically
uses the higher resolution to update the
They actually do something similar to that with cameras, where the high-end cameras where you can take multiple photos at different exposures, and then you
that's really for HDR with tracking.
Right.
Yeah. 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 HDR pictures out there. Most of them are touchless.
Yeah, that's exactly what I'm talking about.
It's cool.
They go into, it's kind of long, but they go into other things that it allows you to do. It's, their algorithm only works on a static scene. The camera angle and the lighting can all change, but the scene has to remain static for whatever it is. But you could take a photo in a frame, map, or make a mask of just the actual picture, swap the picture out, and you'll still get the reflections on the glass from before with the first picture.
For example, in this reconstruction, you can see holes, seams, and several fingerprints. But it's based on the fusion technique, uses these artifacts, incorporating the simple gradients of the video.
I don't have a huge problem.
This is a spatial resolution of the video using high resolution photographs. Notice this gets kind of fusion technique preserves a really vivid reflection seen in the input video. Since the photographs have a much higher resolution than the video, you can zoom in to view the details captured by the photographs. The resolution is effectively increased by 4 times.
Hmm.
this is what you're talking about.
That's the video that we have been successful.
Oh, yeah. It's basically the same thing, but it's a video.
The next example, demonstrate the ability of our six-step feature algorithm. Transfer dynamic lighting from the input video to video reconstructed photographs of scenes captured at night on a rainy day. Notice the shadows and phosphates from the raindrops passed from the nearby window, and this can be layered in some form. Several photographs of the scene were also taken with long exposure times. Our system produces a low exposure video while preserving the dynamic lighting of the scene.
It sort of makes you wonder when you look at the realty listings too, you know.
For example,
I noticed that.
Don't believe anything you see today, that's for sure.
That is so fake. It looks so fake.
Don't believe, you know.
It also states, though, with their algorithm, it takes 5 minutes to process one 800 by 600 frame of video.
You need to replace the picture. Give it 5 years.
Yeah, inside the frames, preserving the reflections. Isn't that, like, it's hard to believe that that's actually possible.
What?
Huh.
So basically, you'd be like, well, I'm going to redo this video now. I'm like, what is it?
All they had to do was...
You've got to redo that scene. No, I don't. You're just taking my picture.
You can take people out of the scene. You can
That's right. They had an article, I don't know, it was in the Times or something, but about people who get divorces. There's a thriving business now to have people you don't want in the picture with you and remove.
You know. That software like that's in the 70s. Where's the running
This is kind of like that one other thing that GIMP
photos, I can't remember exactly what it was called. Yeah, theirs works a little better though.
So they're actually using like different angles they saw it from to fill in the ones that are
It's stereo, whatever it's called, stereoscopic filters. Just takes the information from the later scenes of that area
fills
behind
in the
and fills in the previous ones.
That's pretty neat.
Older video stuff works that it's scanning ahead the frames. Otherwise, it couldn't possibly crunch the numbers to get all those pixels to change. So it's always figuring out ahead of time which pixels it doesn't need to change.
It just
locks those in, and then it just works on the ones that need to change. And that cuts the processing time way down.
So next time I go to Reptile Gardens and I want to videotape the alligator guy behind all the fence, I can just make sure I move around a bit, and then when I get home, I can
take all the fence out. Exactly.
Where the Reptile Garden?
That's where I went. A couple weeks ago, I've been a while already. I went to South Dakota.
Oh, too long?
I kept going though. I went all the way to Colorado.
Oh, you can all
up into the mountains. That's pretty
cool. Yeah, that's nice. That's interesting.
How close is it being?
They don't have a binary package. They said that there are pieces of their algorithm you can sell each other to source code if you want to go through it.
try and figure it out for yourself, which I'm sure is increasingly complicated.
Yeah.
I mean, processing the videos to figure out depths, and basically what they were doing was like creating 3D maps of the video. I mean, I'm sure it's just insane.
Cool.
And it's cool stuff.
I'm still keeping moved up. Anybody else have anything going on?
Lost it in here. I fixed my video card. I soldered in some new capacitors.
Did it work?
No, not my desktop. My desktop.
You successfully replaced the capacitors?
I successfully replaced the capacitors. And I have also found the cause of the capacitors. An oscilloscope, was monitoring the power. Yeah, it turns out my 5-volt power rail is running at 4.1 volts, which that ain't enough. 4.5, yeah, okay, I can see it, but 4.1 is really low, so.
New power supply?
Probably going to need a new power supply. And that's probably
so
what
So are you just not using it until you get a new power supply?
Yeah.
You mean your main power supply?
Main power supply.
Just
because, I monitored the 5 volts on multiple different rails. You know, usually each, you got, you know, a couple of Molex connectors out of each one. Usually those are each on their own separate circuit. And every one of them set exactly the same amount of voltage. So there's some type of power regulation in the power supply that's spinning out 4.1 instead of 5.
We went through a little bit of that leaked electronics and science behind power supplies in the electronics class at the tech school. Apparently the power supplies these days aren't nearly as robust as they used to be.
Not even close.
I don't remember all the components that they were talking about that should be there, that you should have 2 or 3.
The general way that the power supplies work is they actually take the AC, turn it to DC, and then they use a DC to DC converter called a buck converter, where they turn it to an extremely high frequency and run it through a small coil. And because it's such a high frequency, they get a lot of amps versus a transformer where you can't get as many amps. So then they just have a little microcontroller that monitors the output voltage and varies the rate so that it gets exactly the right voltage. So it's really a voltage regulator and converter built all in one. And then on the other end, you're supposed to have a bunch of power capacitors to smooth it up to make sure that it's back to regular DC. And that's usually what they skimp on. They don't put high enough quality power or power capacitor in there, or they don't put enough, and you get waves in the power.
So on your video card, it wasn't working, and you wondered why it wasn't working.
It was locking up. There was a lock up, there would be a good PC.
No, it's interesting you're saying that because it's at work now. We have desktop PCs that are 5 years old, placing 2 to 3 power supplies a week.
Sometimes it could be the capacitors and those are wrong too.
Well,
so, I mean, you can pull them up and look at them. See, have blown capacitors kind of bubbles up on top, and it gets that rusty, orangish stuff. Yeah.
Just want to bring them
to I don't want to look at them. No, I'm good.
We've got enough blown capacitors.
Yeah, we're good. I got 3 blown capacitors. That's just fine.
No, I'm not going to try to repair them anymore. Usually, if I have to so much as get the screwdriver out, it's beyond hope for me.
It was the principle of the matter. Would have been easier to get a new one. No, it was the fact that, no, I'm going to fix it.
What kind of soldering equipment do you have?
Just a soldering iron. That's really all you need.
Yeah, well, but I mean, do you have adjustable temperatures? And,
no.
Really?
No. As long as
just
it's got enough.
Just the standard iron with the fine tip.
Standard iron with a fine tip, and you got to make sure that you have enough wattage behind it. Because because the less wattage you have, the harder it is.
Yeah, it's better to have it hot and do it quickly than to have it take a while to heat up.
Small stuff, if you got the high heat, you just versus if you hold it, if you have low heat, you hold it on there. The heat disperses and intends to heat up your components, and you have a higher chance of breaking.
I made the mistake of buying one a battery powered solder and two that really, really terrible battery powered cold heat solder iron. That thing is just worthless.
I want to try that soldering paste. It's a paste you just put on, and then you can just pretty much put it in a toaster oven for like 30 minutes and take it out of the toaster oven and everything's all soldered up. Seriously, that's all it is.
Be leery about subjecting my components to that.
Yeah, but the thing is, if you look at all the motherboards and everything, that's how they're all done. Like, these surface mount chips, they just have, like, this paste that they just put on. They run through a baker, it bakes it, and there you go, you got your full circuit. And the thing is, if you have a single heat source and you're trying to heat it up, then it's very hot at one point, it disperses. But if you heat it all up evenly, as long as you stay under the component's, you know, melting point, you're fine.
My soldering iron is a little duct
tape. Usually,
I don't fix a whole lot with it.
A crimper, right?
Sometimes it holds things together, but usually not. So, did we want to run through this quick? I heard it was a short list. Yep, sorry. Continue.
Yeah,
it's me.
Yeah, I know. I saved it for
him.
We gotta
finish now. Oh, congratulations!
Congratulations!
That's nice. That's awesome. That's pretty cool.
Can't get too far ahead of yourself.
Was it blue?
Yeah, it's us.
Cool. Congrats.
Great.
Now you need an engagement laptop person.
Yeah, me. Oh, no. I already gave her this. Oh,
that's right.
That was great.
Yeah.
You have to register a question.
No,
I'm
just
saying. Oh, you can do that? Really? Register is late? Oh, I think a lot of places.
Oh, you know what? You can light it away.
I think a lot of places do stuff like that.
NARS does.
Wedding registry at Menards.
Yep.
One of my friends actually registered there because her and her husband both work for NARS, and they're like, we're going to get free stuff from
NARS. Did Menards actually give them anything on their registry?
No, like, people just bought all the tools.
What was that?
Cool. Well, congratulations.
Yeah.
That's great. Keep us informed. It's the date for those numbers. So, big day in court. I glanced over this. It had to do with someone's railroad track modeling program written in Java.
Yeah, the gist of it was that a lower court had said that the GPL couldn't be, it wasn't actually enforceable as a copyright, that you had to, it was a contractual agreement, which is actually bad because the contractual agreements don't have as severe of a penalty as a copyright does. So they actually appealed it and they won the appeal and they said, yes, this is enforceable as a copyright. So that's really the big win for the GPL, is that this appeals court said that, yes, it can be upheld as copyright.
I guess we have the Java model railroad interface to thank for that. I didn't look at it. I'm kind of curious about it now.
Yeah, I didn't read this article or the other one. They just appeal so that they can get some advertising.
Canonical joins the Linux Foundation. Big news, little news, I'm not sure.
Yeah,
Anyone read this one? This just seemed like kind of standard Ubuntu-ish news to me, I guess, you know.
I figured they'd already be in
that. I was kind of, you know, I saw it, I was like, wow, I didn't realize it is. Maybe it is.
The weird thing about it is that they call it Canonical Commercial Sponsor. I think it's like a Canonical Forest. I they call it Commercial Sponsor.
They sell the support and whatever different plans you can buy from corporate, but behind this all Canonical, whereas Ubuntu is still
free.
Community. I think it's still a community project. It's not actually run by Canonical. They give it a lot of money, I imagine. They're going to pay bounties for bug fixes or whatever.
Kind of like
the war.
Maybe a little bit tighter net than that, but similar.
So what's, you can tell us about the update or Fedora issue. What's going on with Fedora?
I read that. Click on that. Jog my memory.
The first one?
Well, maybe. Oh, they actually had some issues with their servers. So, Fedora site was down and the repositories were actually down. So, it wasn't actually a problem with Fedora itself, it was a problem with all their web stuff.
Was it hardware? Did they get hacked?
I don't know.
Try the other one?
I don't even know what it said. They just pretty much said, everyone over there. Security breach.
Anybody know what happened to Netflix last week? Their whole delivery system broke down. They had ads on the TV that they were, and I got an email that they were going to give us a 15% discount because they weren't able to deliver the discs. But for some reason, their shipping system broke down. Yeah, there were a couple ads on TV, the usual one about never any late fees and all that business stuff. They had those replaced by announcements about, the breakdown of their delivery system. I just wondered what happened. I was figuring probably it was a raid on illegal aliens and they cleaned out their whole workforce one day.
I really wondered what it was. Which are on third-party Visual Basic software that runs on
DB6, right?
This is back, 2000-ish VB, whatever was out then.
Oh, yeah, VB6. Yeah, I'm sure. Good stuff.
5 or 6, something like that. So, yeah.
So we don't know that.
We've been getting Netflix for a long time. I mean, it's just suddenly, I wondered why the damn disc wasn't in the mailbox one day, So, and then a couple days later, the email came and said, sorry, if you haven't received your usual delivery on time, it's because we've had a massive, they described it literally as, I think, a massive breakdown of our delivery system.
It's kind of odd. Something's just kind of going. Yeah.
So, and then a couple days later, it came back and said, we've decided to give everybody a 15% discount or something. So, some amount. I think it was 15%. Now it's back up again, but it's... Well, I mean, discs started to come again,
Have you ever tried to use their
screen? The discs are flowing.
Yeah, no, I'm not much interested in that. Actually, I haven't tried to use it, but it was funny because we kind of had a harbinger that something was wrong because after, several years now, they lost the disc that we sent back. It was like usually the next morning it'll pop up in the email that they've received such and such return to them. And it didn't, a day went by, 2 days by, three, like a week went by. We had no notice that they'd received it back. And I reported it. They have a way you can report it somehow missing or, you did send it and they ask you what day you sent it and so on. And then about 3 or 4 days later is when this thing, when we got this notice that the whole system had broken.
So you broke
it. I might have. Maybe I did. Still think it's the illegal alien thing.
I got a few stuff that just says that they don't seem to find any specific reasons for the
Oh, that's
it. That doesn't sound remarkable.
You might be right.
I mean, I was the butterfly in Hong Kong that caused the hurricane in Florida.
I got to take this opportunity to have a TV score. It's kind of plug in that actually you can export Netflix and you can actually track everything.
Oh, really?
Netflix, yep. It also has this new feature, a new version I installed. It's got, it takes your zip code and it finds all the local movie theaters and tells you what times all the movies are playing. It's all the different theaters, so it's not that kind of thing.
That's a little bit more full feature.
So you can do your Netflix thing. What happens is you put it into the Mint TV and it starts transforming straight away.
Really?
Yep. for remember the mic. Archival purposes.
The mic is on, Dark.
I'm not promoting that you do this illegally. I'm just saying you can make
legal
backups.
Exactly.
Of your home video DVDs.
They
but I just like this because you put it in and it just goes.
Oh, really?
Yeah, you put it in, done. Do it, spins it back up. Okay, you're ready to watch it.
So this looks like the other gnome here was another one for about Fluendo and how they legally get around what they're doing.
Is there a difference between the CSS keys that are used in Europe and the ones that are used in stateside? I mean, is there any difference regionally with the CSS keys, or is it really one technology if you're using it at all?
Does that have anything to do with the
function
codes?
I don't know. That's what I was wondering. Yeah, I was wondering how that works.
I don't think so, but I don't know so.
I would think really. The region settings instead of your players for like DVDs and whatnot, and their backwards and
whatnot. Yeah, sure. I consistently found that these particular Polish DVDs don't decode, and I can't see any difference between them, and they play on the player absolutely normally. They don't cause that little thing to kick up where you have to change your, you know, country designation. They don't kick that up, and yet you cannot get a read of a will not extract the CSS keys.
No, what you do for those regions is you go to Walmart, you buy like your $20 DVD player from China. It's too cheap to have lockdown, so you just hit 1 and 9 at the same time. Okay, it's unlocked. So we don't have any region encoding on our DVD players. If we got a more expensive one, we might, but. It's just on the remote, that's the code that turn on for that particular player. There's maybe about 30-40%, there's a special code that you can enter in that will unlock the region encoder. So you can play discs from any region. Just some combo that you type in on the remote, and it'll just say, okay, it's unlocked. You can play whatever region disc you want.
On your website, did you do that?
Pretty much you just Google the model because we had a DVD that was actually from China last, and you hit 1 and 9 at the same time as you turn it on and it'll unlock.
And what did you Google for that? I have a cousin.
The model and the region unlocked.
Yeah, I have a cousin who's an archaeologist, and he's always going back and forth between Peru and here, and he's discovered that limit of number of times you can change it back and forth. He's rather upset about it, so maybe I should tell him.
Really, really cheap cyber home DVD players, just, you know, like the $20 ones, little ones that you see floating around everywhere. Like
okay, I'll have to Google that up and send it to Steven.
My cheap stuff.
It's the company itself. You know, like, there might be a website in, like, China where they don't really care. And they say, okay, here's how you unlock it. It eventually filters through and makes its way to the websites. Or somebody in the company says, oh, you can unlock it this way. And it makes it on some forum somewhere.
So, I don't know if anybody's interested in Fluendo, but I actually did buy their Kodak pack a while back. seems to work fine.
What does it do?
It's you get to like MP3 support and MP4 and H.263 is it, and Windows Media. So like a couple of times I've installed Fedora on here, I just run the script to install the Fluendo codecs and everything holds, except for DVD.
Sweet.
And I think it's $30 to get the entire set of the codecs. That's the problem.
Glitch out all the time.
Well, that's why I'm using Mint now, because Mint comes with the stuff that you have to go to like Metabuntu to get that's actually not Fluendo or not technically, I don't know if it's legal or not, but it's because I look at it. But, like the Fluendo codecs for MP3s, and I don't think, like you said, they're not
great. Okay, we'll play a video, but more often times than not, they lock up the player.
I've never had to lock up the player, but I've noticed a quality difference, especially if you take the difference between running Torm with a Zine backend or a GStreamer backend. I think there's a huge difference. You get much better quality out of a Zine backend experience than you ever do on a GStreamer.
GStreamer just doesn't seem very stable to most. MPlayer plays everything, but it's not quite as stable. Zine doesn't quite play everything, but it's really stable. And then GStreamer is kind of
you don't even use it.
You say that like it's a bad word, but...
Yeah, I like VLC too. I try to use
I just never got on that bandwagon. So...
Well, I mean,
between MPlayer and Zine, what do you need it for?
The VLC, between MPlayer and Zine, I think the user interfaces are... You come back to the more intuitive thing here. Personally, I think the VLC is a bit confusing compared to...
Why can't somebody come up with a nice design for a movie player? Like, every single one is just ugly or crap. It's just, they try and make it look like you're, you know, receiver, you know, giant thing. No, give me a stupid play button. It's a play button and slider, like a flash. That's great.
So one thing I think I like about Torm is there's like three buttons on there.
What the menus are for?
Alright, so Levelator. I don't know. I didn't look at this. Maybe I should have. I think I've heard Mosh mention Levelator before. I think what it's supposed to do is just take an audio recording and smooth the levels out. He might be making a hint.
Probably.
We could process our recordings from here. It'd be easier to hear.
Probably just does compression.
Yeah, it's just compression, normalize. Sure.
Yeah, compress and normalize.
I'm pretty sure I've been talking about this particular thing a while ago, too. PHP 4. I quit being interested in PHP quite a while ago, but I'm not getting any users.
Java person.
4 is coming to the end of life. So. Anyone look at these other ones?
Well, they can make Flash better. It's easier to start over. Sucks for a long time, and they never fix it. They come out with a new version, and it's no better than the previous version. It's no worse, but it's no better. It's not any faster. Where's the 64-bit? 64-bit has been around for 6-7 years now, and they're just completely ignoring it. Whenever anybody says anything about
it, wouldn't it be difficult to implement that cross-platform being 64-bit?
No. If you can do it cross-platform,
doing it in 64-bit should be as easy as recompiling it, unless you don't know what you're doing and you don't program it correctly. I, seriously, I went from a 16-bit program to a 32-bit program at Earth, and it took me one morning. That was it. And I was done. I was like, one or two kids hadn't changed, but really simple. And this isn't a slouch of a program either, this is pretty big. So, they just, I don't know if they're just ignoring it, or they just don't know what they're doing, or they've got a lot of assembly language, which they shouldn't have. It's just, I just can't understand how they can be standing so still and letting everybody catch up to them. They're that far out ahead.
I don't like this waiting for beta.api.marketwatch.com pops up there in the bottom one.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Done. Wait, there it is again.
Oh,
is it
that's the latest in this thing.
It's waiting for me to click on it, and it's going to go off the tattletale.
You know, I noticed that on weather.com, too. It always stopped on one site. What is the site? They did a lookup, and it's like some spam site. It's like they just happen to host their stuff on the same site.
Yeah, that was the one good thing about Windows. You could find the DLL that was doing that and delete it. And then it would say, DLL fails to load, you know, and that's the only thing.
You're like, yeah, that was good.
Yeah,
yeah.
That was a nice thing.
Oh, so out of Flash. I was trying to go to
shared objects.
HGTV. It's been last week. They must have changed their site, but my wife was trying to go there the other week, and anything with Flash 10 on it would just hang. They had some Flash thing there that would just die, but if you went on to something with Flash 9, it would fine.
Yeah,
I don't think they changed their site, and I didn't see it there.
I wasn't really impressed with Flash 10. First off, their install script, plain up, will not install on a 64-bit system at all. I had to go in and hack their install script to get it to install. Yeah.
I can do it with VMware.
And then they've got some weird dependencies that are breaking installs for a lot of different people. Like they're requiring old versions of packages that were never offered in 64-bit because they're so old.
Huh.
So, and it's supposedly significantly slower than the previous beta. Even though they said that speed increases were one of the things that they've done before. So it's just not a good situation.
They need to do something because video on the web is huge. If Flash starts going down the tubes, then what else does Linux have to plan?
Yeah, but what does Adobe care?
Yeah, Adobe's never been friendly to Linux, that's for sure.
Adobe's never really been friendly.
All right, I did actually read some of the Pandora can't make money. It's internet radio, and there's something about here about the royalties that internet radio stations are having to pay to some sound exchange. I'm not sure what sound exchange is.
Is the same thing going on with Last.fm? Are they making money?
With
Last.fm is basically the same sort of.
Really? Are they going under? I haven't heard about that.
They're not based out of the U.S., so they might be able to get away from that. Yeah. Last.fm is actually based out of Europe somewhere. I don't know if it's UK or whatever.
This is just
sound exchange. Okay, this has been going on for quite a while. They took it upon themselves to charge money for all, RIAA licensed artists. Regardless of whether the artists say they want the royalties collected or not, this company's just collecting for everyone. Just because they're the company and they say they can, so they are. So any radio station that broadcasts anything that's, anything under the ASC, or whatever.
ASCAP,
yeah. Anything that's under that, the broadcast, even one thing under it, they're charging for that radio station for all the songs that they're playing, regardless of
why doesn't someone challenge that? Or has it been challenged?
Because they're the designated company to...
Who does it?
Well, it's their the government designated them as a company.
The reason for any of those... The reason for any of those court challenges is the simple thing is, you know, if the sheriff's got 10 guns and you've got one gun, do you want to get into a gun battle with this guy? You know what I mean? It's the same thing. These guys have much more money to throw at stopping you than you have to challenge them. It's just the same story over and over.
I mean, the law is completely on their side. They're like, okay, this one, we don't want everyone going out collecting royalties, so this one company gets to do it all. And then the company gets to pay, you know, the artists a percentage of what they collect. So virtually nothing. They're pretty much just collecting money, coming in and, you know, spewing out of their ears.
Does Last.fm have any advertisement on their site or anything?
Small amounts of
it. The other thing in this article is that Pandora apparently never put advertisement.
They did, actually. They did have a small amount of advertising. There wasn't any... wasn't ever any commercials on the air. You never had to listen to anything. Just occasionally it would pop up little ads and porn.
Another thing too that might be different.
One thing they kind of went after Pandora, not after them, but they said, you know, at the end here they just build it and we'll figure out a business model later for which will be enough to save this experiment. And they were kind of lying to their lack of using ads in the beginning.
That was kind of a big thing. A lot of people figured that if you had tons and tons and tons of traffic, there was going to be a way to make money. And a lot of people really couldn't figure that second step out.
Yahoo's trying really hard. That's why I don't use it anymore. There's too many ads, right?
That's step two, yeah. Step two is the hard
one. One other thing about Last.fm is that might be different is they don't just go out and get the music. They wait for the people who own the music to say, okay, play this.
So but they have just,
music.
Well, they have just as much music, though. They
right,
so
but
much.
I think they're talking directly with the copyright holders of the music, saying, you want the music out? Copyright holder says yes. Well, that's just too bad. They said I can do it.
That's the thing that's going to turn this all around, because artists are finding that the publicity is way more valuable to them than money that comes in at an early stage, where they end up being completely victimized by agents and things like that who sign them up, you know, because you're so desperate to work, you know, you want to be able to get your stuff out there. At the early stages, you agree to anything, and then you regret it for the rest of your life, you know, or the rest of your career anyway, you know. But the thing that's going to change it around is so many, especially musicians, have found that getting their work out there any way they can is worth much more to them than, you know, income at an early stage.
I think that's going to change. Like, that's, it was moving that way, but now there's so many people on MySpace that have their own poorly made recording studios, low quality, low production value.
Just get inundated with garbage and stuff.
That's always been the case.
You just get inundated with garbage and stuff and just kind of stop looking for it.
Yeah, exactly. For a while there, you could find some really cool artists online for free.
I really,
everyone else kind of had the same idea, but they weren't quite as good.
Do you remember the original mp3.com?
Yeah.
Anybody? No, not Napster. The original mp3.com.
I think so. You could.
Was a site where artists would upload their
stuff.
They had weekly ratings on how many people listened to you. You could actually create a CD. You could put a CD together and sell it, and they would make the CD and send it to someone who bought it through their website. You actually get your artist account on there.
Well, that's true.
I thought it was really cool. When I was in a band, we sold a couple CDs in Japan.
They would never.
It was really neat. And then I don't know if they couldn't support themselves.
The music industry would never let that happen because they make that's cutting them out of the league.
Yeah, that's it.
It's no more, though.
What they can do is,
what you're talking about the glut of information where you can't plow through the garbage. That's true unless you're looking at a focused thing. If you have a more focused idea, like you're interested in, you know, Celtic music played on the hurdy-gurdy or something like that, and you start searching those particular niche interests, not just kind of like what's cool now or what's popular now, then you don't have that, you know, completely too much, you know, information overload thing.
Like I said, the original mp3.com.
It sounds like a great idea.
I loved it. I thought it was great. And the thing is, you get that filtering because
Yeah, I mean, you have to be looking for something particular, some people doing particular things.
That's not the music industry, because it takes the control out of their hands. You know, basically the music industry decides who's popular,
That's why we're listening to music. I mean, in the 1960s and 70s, we were not, you know, at the snack bar, we were not listening to the music that my parents listened to during the war. And everybody today that puts on almost any commercial radio station is listening to the music that we were listening to in the snack bar when we were in college. That's an unusual situation. I mean, the music industry has just collapsed under its own weight of exactly this kind of stuff, of idiots deciding what's good.
Yeah, exactly.
And it just can't continue that way, because there's talented people out there who want to do interesting stuff. So they're moving into little niche kind of things where they're pursuing particular, you know, kinds of music, and they're kind of focused on that. And if you go looking for those focused things, you don't have an information overload thing. And I think it may not be overnight.
But the popularity isn't there.
Who needs that popularity? I mean, that's the point. Wouldn't you rather have...
You don't know what you're looking for. You just want to find...
Well, that's the problem. You want more people who do know what they're looking for. But you do want people... See, the people who are doing something interesting, they'd rather have 10,000 really knowledgeable listeners than a million people who are blowing hot one week and cold the next, the next cool thing that comes along, unless you have the backers of some big company that are going to make you, pseudo stars.
Yeah, this is,
you don't need that.
This website here, it's called Maybe it's similar to what I'm doing, but Calgary 5 musicians can sign up and just like Montreal.
This is all unsigned musicians, all unsigned artists, and they say it's for $35 of setup, and then they take 9% cut of whatever you make, but the rest goes directly to the artist.
Mm-hmm. Some of the albums are only $5, or if you know the artist,
doesn't allow you to listen.
Yeah. I think that's the way of the future.
It even says,
what
do
you
do sounds like? Yeah. You put sounds like, and it gives you the list of sounds like. I actually have bought some CDs on here.
Is that on the search?
Later on, those bands
have signed.
I think it was like $5.
I think that's the wave of the future, and you really have to do something to turn around that stranglehold that the biggest.
So go ahead and click on one of those.
Are you sure?
Yeah.
Okay with me.
And then you scroll down, there's each track, or at least a little clip.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm sure if you click on that,
it'll flash.
I guess.
Oh, not Dr. Wicked? Oh, it crashed you there. Oh, we'll get a visualization.
Kind of loses something like that.
Yes.
This flies is ever seen.
Oh, yeah.
I think that's the thing. I mean, it's the centralization of power in all those things.
Sounds like creative.
Strangles creativity. It's absolutely.
Oh, man. All right, I'm going to check this out. Yeah, I bookmarked it.
I like that second one, though. Playing the heavy metal Nintendo.
I didn't look close enough.
All Nintendo songs played.
Oh, it's
on
the Nintendo game cartridges with the picture is.
Oh, yeah.
Remember the original.
I want to hear one of these.
You want to hear one?
Yeah.
Well, you'll have to. My speakers are on.
Castlevania 2, Cycling.
Oh, man.
Battletoads, Zelda. Contra.
I'm going to have to buy this. This is the whole reason I bought a Nintendo Wii and a heavy metal for it. Play all the old games? Yeah. Anyway, so...
Play all the old games and just turn that on.
Sidetrack there, but...
It's all right.
It's about sound. It's okay.
Playing with you, dude, a lot of the bands out there that just don't play because you don't know, they get to play, but I mean, it's because...
I've got one that's incredible that's from Brazil. Never would have heard of it, but holy crap.
Yeah.
Music education. I didn't read this. If anyone wants to read it.
Let's see.
I make sound tools to read it.
Yeah, I didn't realize that, but it talks about for kids, you know, they have like a stamp for a cat. So you can stamp a cat here, but then you flip and drag it, it looks like it makes the cat so it's funny. That's cool, yeah. Yeah, and it's got one for squirrel, and you can sit there and click it on the kind of teaching. And then you can try to make some squirrel things running.
Do a cat ever get to school?
Oh, my God. But that's my dog.
This looks really crazy.
Gee, I didn't know music was that complicated.
Look familiar?
Chord diagrams.
Yeah, I don't know. I can't skim this fast enough to comment on it.
Something called chords.
Well, don't forget GNU Solfege, too. Any of you folks who want to sharpen your music skills, that's a very simple little program. It trains you with rhythm patterns and intervals and chord recognition and stuff like that.
What's it called?
GNU Solfege. Well, Solfege is the old system, you know, where you learn to...
It really starts with
ear training, you know, perfect training towards perfect pitch and things like that. And
isn't that really bad?
What it's saying here, I don't know. Well, no, I mean, I don't know what this is doing, but Solfege wouldn't teach you that. It does teach you to hear better, I'll tell you that.
Well, no, this is what I would link on there.
Oh, this one that we're looking at.
As long as you understand theory behind it, you can learn them on tabs, but you should also understand intervals.
But to learn the theory, you really have to learn the music before you learn the
right. Tabs. Well, that's what I was just going to say. Right. Theory should follow to explain what you hear. If you learn the theory first, that's not the way to go about it.
Right.
You should learn music when you hear something, you know how it goes, you can hear the notes, you can play the notes, you can play the rhythm, then maybe some theory will kind of help you go from there on your own. But
either that or learn them at the same time.
Yeah, I mean, there's the old saying is that, you know, the supreme misfortune is when theory outstrips practice.
Every musician I've ever worked with who's had too much theory, in my opinion, that I think it's super positive.
Yeah, absolutely.
You can't do what you're here.
Absolutely.
Yeah. I know what I want to do, but I can't do it.
And there's plenty of people who know no theory who are fantastic musicians.
Yeah, it's too restricted.
Plus, it's definitely useful.
Because you learn the theory, and then you're going to follow those patterns rather than coming up with something creative.
And
besides, theory does a very poor job of explaining most of the best music. I mean, music is much more subtle than that, and it really does a poor job.
The whole creative aspect of music really is not following.
That's right.
Creating something.
Creating new breaking rules, right?
Plumbers.
Musical engineers.
Sound
engineers. So. Banshee. Anyone use Banshee? Comes with Susie.
What is it?
What's it do?
It's AKA Rhythm Box type music.
I'm going to try that on my great music player escapade.
Is it the escapade?
Yeah. I went full circle.
Did you
started on Rhythm Box, went around, did that Songbird, Banshee, whatever. Right back to the box.
I kind of like some things about Banshee, and they're saying it's getting better, and it does play videos. It's almost more like, I think of a Windows Media Player instead of just an audio player with the sounds of it. Similar to that program.
Yeah.
I don't know. I stand for the box.
I don't know why people get so up in arms about these media players.
They because whenever I play an MP3 and media player, it touches my MP3 and tries to update my MP3 tape. Maybe I didn't want that. I was very pissed off at it for doing that. Yes, it's very annoying when you have MP3s out there.
Sure you can.
And you got to check. No, you cannot turn that off. You absolutely cannot turn that off because I spent a half an hour trying to turn it off.
Sure you can.
No,
make
you
read only files.
Yeah, you can make them read only files. That's the only way to do it. But it was really annoying when I had all my MP3s checked into Subversion for one of our programs and I played one media player and all of a sudden, oh, it's changed. That wasn't very nice.
I don't like people doing
things. You don't touch my stuff without asking me.
Exactly. That was my problem with the iPod stuff.
That is not
principle. You didn't ask me.
Who knows if they put DRM in there? I mean, seriously, now we put that out in production. Can we guarantee that it's going to work?
Yeah.
I mean, who knows what it did? They didn't tell me what it did. I know it updated the ID3 tape, but can I guarantee that that's all it did?
Good argument for open source.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, but we took pretty much. Back to staging. Actually,
what I did was I just uninstalled the media player and downloaded on ASCII and just played it in that. I'm like, you know what? I don't want to deal with it. I'm using it. Nobody's going to get it. No.
Okay. Absolutely. Okay. I agree.
Look at GL3.
We'll come get you in one thing.
We're trying to do away with triangles.
Yeah. We'll come
trying to do everything with the pixel shader languages.
Good or bad?
It's good. It's going away. OpenGL has always been about drawing triangles on the screen, and we got more and more triangles, and then we came up with the shader language for like pixel shaders and vertex shaders, and now they're completely trying to go away from triangles. Pretty much you almost describe your objects as almost like a vector object in this vertex shader language. So kind of interesting.
That's where it's going with X surface.
Mm-hmm. It hit me the bells, and the bells pretty cool, but I just didn't know the color. Should it?
Yay! I looked for the pictures.
Oh yeah, they talked about the cell pictures.
Well,
I can say it's a good thing this was under $500. That's all I can say.
I don't know.
You know, like coupon and it was under $500, I'm okay with that. Otherwise, I'd be unhappy.
I didn't know Adele was in such dire straits. I mean, that's why they paint the picture in the beginning, because they're like, they're down, you know. If you go into the article, and they're just doing this to help try to pick up.
Pick up sales drops. Melba's in big business.
Well, I guess what most was interested in was that they're doing a Linux mode.
Yes, gone from Zelda to Underdog and Shoddy Customer Service Week and actually set up distribution out the end of the time as possible. And $35 billion in stock.
Serves them right, is all I can say. Because they all, a couple years ago, they were making some nice laptops, and I bought this based on the fact that the P3 laptop I had is a wonderful machine, except it's getting a little slow now.
Yeah,
so I bought this, and the quality difference between just the plain hardware and stuff in it, topped that with the piece of crap Vista that they put on there, plus the fact that when I bought those extra hard drives and they sent me the carriage and the hard drive and didn't send me the screws, and then it cost me $17 to go buy 12 screws from them so I can install the damn thing. That, you know, so anything bad that happens to Dell at this point, I say,
why is it so hard? Why is it so hard to make good laptops as far as hardware? It's like the hardware is always crap. It doesn't matter
That's his favorite joke. That's the favorite. We had to tell Elliot's favorite joke about it. Said, what, Windows XP or better, so I bought a Mac? A Mac?
Okay, I'll give you that. Yeah, Macs have the better hardware, but I've heard stories about their hardware, too, not being really up to par with what I expect hardware to be.
And they're not as good as they used to be. I mean, if you really think about the state of the hardware generally, in, say, when the 2CI or something like that was coming out. I mean, or what was that one that was the holy grail of the graphics machines? I forget what model that was. You know, it was like a $10,000 Mac toward the end of the 80s. Well, that was really a well-made piece of equipment. I bought a Performa, and boy, was I ever sorry I did that, you know what I mean? And because just even in the space of about 5 years, the quality of...
Right, and it's, they don't test the stuff together. They put in sound card from bin A, whatever's in there. Okay, video card from bin B. Oh, well, let's put this wireless card. Well, okay, it'll all work together.
The story with that is when, the story generally with that was when they came into this thing they called just-in-time supply or just-in-time shipping. The problem was they were never able to get enough of any particular components to actually make all the machines the same. So they always ended up having to have a design where they had so much fudge room that they could slide the equipments a little bit this way and that way. Now, Gateway tried to solve part of that problem by contracting separately with a lot of these people for, you know, what they needed, and they would use some of their stuff that they had to make one certain way because of a limited supply chain, and they would just design their machine with those particular components in mind. But look what happened to Gateway. They weren't able to sustain that over time. That whole supply, you know, method of approaching design broke down.
So, I would pay good money for a PC that just works. Everything's been tested together. It's got full Linux support. Everything will just work. But
you can't. You can't even pay for quality. No, that's right. Even if you're willing to pay, you know.
More money does not equal more.
That's right. Absolutely.
I mean, there are quality. They're not top of the line, but you can find stable, you know.
But then you're rolling the dice too, because one might be stable and the next one might have
different parts. Right.
I mean, if you're looking at parts, you can get stable, you can get quality hardware if you build it yourself.
But you also have to, all of the machines that really work well that are commercially produced are tuned. So if you, even if you do your own roll your own, you better have the know-how and the equipment to tune it after you get the thing put together, because the components will not just work together.
Sometimes they don't.
Sometimes they don't work at all.
This stuff works together good.
There are, you know, there's so many things these days you have to look for. Like, is your motherboard support the extra features of your video card? Because now all the different brands of video cards have their own, you know, upgraded features that are supposedly make it work better with the, you know, the special chipset, so you have to buy the same motherboard.
Really, the only way you can get a stable system is you gotta buy a crap video card. You buy a crappy video card, there's nothing to interface.
You can get it. It doesn't have to be crappy.
Well, not crappy.
It's just you can't buy the
top
of the
line. It's not going to be stable. Mm-hmm. That's just the way it is.
When I was looking for a laptop, the one thing I really wanted was a good keyboard. I test drove a number of them, and you'd be typing on, you can feel particularly the upper left-hand corner, the whole thing goes mush.
Yeah, that's...
And, you know, I ended up going with IBM. Expensive, and there's only, at that time, you couldn't really buy them through, you know, discounts. So, in fact, when I was in Montana, I couldn't find a place to buy them. And I didn't want to buy a mail order unless I could actually test drive the keyboard and stuff. So I actually went down to their business service center and said, you guys got an R40 sitting around? Yo, Joe, can this guy play with your R40? And I went in, played around. Yeah, okay. And I said to the guy, did they ever offer discounts? Did everyone say that? No, he said. And he said, but you know, we do have this program. Friends and family of employees.
Uh-huh.
and I got on the friend
right,
list.
Right, exactly, yeah.
And he didn't say a lot, but, you know, it was pretty good.
Yeah, I found that with Fujitsu. Actually, I got a refurb Fujitsu it's a Windows 95 vintage machine, but it's been running for like 16 years now. I almost never shut it off. And the lid broke, literally is broken off of it, so I've just closed it and put it under a monitor that I plug it into now, you know. And it, you know, but it's, what I did was I kept bugging the guys, you know, at the place for a refurb, you know. And the guy finally gave me his employee discount number to buy this refurb, because they went so quick that if you didn't get on them right away, and he knew that this was a good machine, and I was talking to him about something else, but we kind of struck up a friendship. But he finally gave me his employee discount number, and I bought the refurb machine off their quick buy website. And it's really, I mean, you know, if I could buy a machine comparable quality of contemporary, state of the equipment, I would just love it. But that kind of thing has gone away. I mean, it's just, you know, you can't even have access to the people in the tech support department that way anymore. You know, it's become so systemized, you can't even strike up a friendship like that anymore. You know,
they probably wouldn't even be an actual employee of that company that's directly, you know, they're
somewhere
taking calls
in
for them.
Yeah,
or,
exactly.
You know, three other
hardware
manufacturers and a cable company.
Yeah.
George.
You know, it's just things have kind of mushroomed out of the original way that this
really
used to be working.
Yeah,
know?
It really is, to the point where I got to take an oscilloscope into Best Buy and go, okay, audio, yep, okay, it zeroes at zero. The audio card I had, it actually had like a 3-volt bias. It didn't even go to zero. It actually had a bias to 3 volts.
Mm-hmm.
The the power supply didn't have big enough capacitor. That's probably why it died, because the power supply wasn't well enough built. It completely overheated because it's working way too hard,
mm-hmm.
and it provided dirty power. You could actually hear it when it was plugged in versus on battery.
Yeah.
It through the sound card. Well, the sound card was crap too, but you shouldn't be able to hear anything.
No,
there
right.
shouldn't be any frequency whatsoever on that if it was built properly.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just thing after thing of just cheap crap that the normal person.
Yeah, they're looking for price.
Yeah, they would be like, oh, there's this, just some weird buzzing noise, and wouldn't think twice about it, or just deal with it, and never realize that it's just crappy hardware that they produce.
You know, what I paid for the IBM was significantly higher than what I would have paid for Dell or something else, but it worked. And the only compatibility problems I've had was the Wind modem, of course. That drove me nuts. And I finally gave up on the Ajir driver was so bad, Ajir eventually took it off their website. I mean, it was really flaky. Now I decided to try again here recently. The SmartLink driver works really nice. And it was easy to do and works really nice. And the only other problem I had with it was when loading Debian, for some reason the screen resolution wasn't good then. I had to tinker around with the externals. But other than that, it worked real good.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a good heavy duty machine. It's a little too heavy on the heavy, but it's, I've been really pleased with the quality of it. And after test driving some of the other brands, you know, especially the keyboard quality.
Yeah. Someone last week had a Lenovo here, and that looked like it was actually a pretty decent machine as far as both the keyboard and just, it looked like a sturdy machine.
And the joysticks are really nice. The joysticks, have you ever used a TrackPoint? A lot of people with a TrackPoint, they try to take their index finger and use it. No. Put your thumb on. That's why it's there. You know, so you can work your way around.
Yeah,
so,
I've never had a problem with either one, the touchpad or the track.
Well, I got rid of the touchpad really quick because your cuff moves across the touchpad and bingo, it moves. I said, forget it.
Yeah.
Went into the BIOS and disabled. That was the other.
Well, it has the trackball on it too.
It has. No, it's not a trackball. It's a joystick.
Oh,
and
the joystick
doesn't move the pointer by the amount you push it. It's actually a torque sensor. It's actually a torque sensor, and so it handles really good compared to some of the other brands.
I could never. Ever since the first laptop I ever touched that had handles that it foamed out, like the mouse.
Do you like the touchpad?
I can't stand it. I can't stand touchpads either because I always end up randomly accidentally clicking on something.
Yeah, that's
I'm not too bad about
it. I was just doing that earlier.
If, as long as I can disable tap clicking.
Well,
so, because I'm heavy fingered. Well, so
one thing that I have to do with the touchpad is you can go into your XOR, you can adjust the pressure.
The pressure sensitivity, and you
right,
can adjust
so
the acceleration.
Make it so for like a click, you have to press it really hard.
I'd rather
that
not quit.
Helped.
The other thing is I don't want to like be slapping my laptop.
Oh, that's true.
I'd rather just click.
I mean, you can just
that's what the buttons
are. You know, just kind of push hard. Unless you've got that problem with the flimsy case. Push hard and all of a sudden your sound card stops
working. Well, this thing is a real pain with the touchpad. I think it's because the processor is right in this area. It's so hot that I think it's temperature sensitive to a degree. And I finally just got a separate Bluetooth mouse because I couldn't even get my hand up to the keyboard without jumping to a different window or something. It was absolutely insane. It helps a little bit to cool it.
That's another thing too. Those touchpads. Those are another thing that they just pick whichever one out of the grab bag. There's probably 15, 20 different touchpads that they can throw in one laptop on.
Sure.
And who knows which one you're going to get? Are you going to get the good one that works real well or the cheap one?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, let's find out.
That's one thing. I think this laptop is the only touchpad I've ever not had a problem with. Ever. And I think they made it a little bit better quality because they were starting the gesturing. They really didn't. This version doesn't have the full gesturing like the iPod or the iPhone that you can pinch and you can pull apart to like zoom in and zoom out. And there's lots of gestures you can do to save time and be more efficient. But it does have two finger scrolling, which is incredibly, incredibly useful. It saves a lot of moving the mouse like here and there.
So how old is that machine?
This is from last Christmas.
Because I wonder whether Apple's finally had to succumb to the market pressures too. I mean, what's the rationale between this, second phase iPod stuff, iPhone stuff that's come out? I mean, it basically looks like they've simply produced a cheaper hardware version of the iPhone.
Yeah.
Well, I knew that was going to happen. Release the expensive one. When people stop buying that, release the less expensive.
Yeah, well, that's the point. They're succumbing to the market pressures.
Stop buying that, that you release the bare bones model that's built way cheap.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Din-din 4. Anybody?
Who?
Din-din.
Isn't that a Chinese diver?
Open source conferencing. I didn't look at this.
I opened it up and went,
with a name like Indian, that will work really well in business.
Yes.
Yeah, right.
You need to create a new creative team there.
Tell your boss, we're going to use Dim Dim. What?
So, I didn't go through any of the how-tos, but it looks like if you care to learn how to hide your software versions on your server, might be a good idea.
Security-wise, that's a good idea.
It's...
Definitely don't want the hackers knowing what version of the software they're running, because then they're just going to look up in their little chart.
And they all spit that out by default.
Yep, their little exploits poster on the wall.
It tells you exactly what you're
what
running.
Version. Yeah, it tells you...
Your hacker friends tell you
the kernel that you're running.
Yeah, they should have an add-on that also lists all the cracks that you're susceptible to.
Yeah.
It wouldn't be that far of a jump. Just another table with that.
And it's pretty much just the 404 page. We'll give you the Apache information almost, I think, by default.
Mm-hmm. What about PIDOF, GDOF, PIDOF? How do you say that? Anyone use that?
What's the difference between that and PSAUX?
Yeah,
I don't know.
I don't know.
I think you can get the process ID.
Process ID of?
Yep.
Each could be used. That could be useful.
Nah, it's nothing you can't do with a little bit of crap and cut. Not there? Oh, it is there. What is that?
Oh, yeah. By default on Linux Mint, whenever you open a terminal, you get some kind of a saying and some ASCII art with it. Usually it's a moose or a penguin.
Why did they come up with a moose?
Did anybody else see that? There was a bug tracker bug released that if you do apt-get-moo, supposed to be an Easter egg.
apt-get-moo?
If you run it right now, just run apt-get-moo, which is pretty nice. Okay.
Like dash-moo?
There you go.
But somebody submitted a bug because it doesn't look like a cow.
Yeah, it looks more like a bird, doesn't it? Than a cow. Yeah, it's got a beak.
Oh, that's
cute.
Let's see what else I can get here. There's the penguin. We will find a lawyer who can change a landfall. Now, if... Okay. Some of these are less than...
Well, there's a bunch of good ASCII art. If you'd like to ask, I do. I think some of the old tracker stuff and the ASCII art stuff is just great.
Oh, yeah, there was some awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah. A bunch of quotes and stuff.
Is that like the rhinos in the jungle that'll put out your fires?
I don't know.
That's that rhino.
Yeah.
All the rhinos put out forest fires.
There you go.
Kill 7-2-0-5. Not true.
Alright, so yeah, it's funny sayings. They're kind of interesting ones. Keeps the terminal entertaining. Format date for display. Date plus format. Looks like a date format, so interesting. I might use that. So, anyways, some other how-tos there, so. Why would you want to disable control?
Because it reboots your PC.
Yeah.
And it's not too kind to Linux file systems. That's the problem with it.
It should initiate the standard shutdown.
Yeah, it's generally, I think you can, it's actually
yeah, you can set it. I think that's become the general practice now with the distributions, but raw Linux, it'll just cold boot your machine, just straight boot it, just like reboot now instead of shutdown now. And that can be quite unkind to your file system.
Mine calls up the logout screen.
If you're in graphics mode, no one probably catches that. But if you're at terminal, I bet you will
just shut your right down. You may not even start shutdown. Some of them will just do reboot dash now.
It depends on the distribution,
Reboot dash now.
That's just a hard shutdown, isn't it? Or it's a restart.
I think that initiates the shutdown.
Doesn't sync the file system. Reboot doesn't sync the file system.
Well, it looks like
there's another option.
You might be right about no catching because it looks like it's in the. It's the event date control. If you change, there's an exec shutdown R now. Mm-hmm. I have it on mine.
Go to the terminal, try to do a ban on shutdown.
It must be known that's catching it, because according to this, it should just shut down.
Do a man on shutdown.
ours restart now. No, this will go for a normal shutdown.
Yeah, it is a normal shutdown.
Request the system be reported after.
I don't. Yeah.
Wait. Well, what are the other options here? There's.
There's
halt. Man reboot. We'll see what it says that does.
Are you done?
Cancels the running shutdown, so you can cancel it. It's
running a script. That's right. It shutdown is. Runs a script, but reboot does not. Or E.
Ah.
There, you have to add a dash N.
Does not call sync.
Oh,
it will make you add the dash N, though.
Right.
This can cause data loss.
That's right. It's unkind to your file system. That's what I said. Don't do it.
Like,
don't you might as well, just might as well pull the plug if you're going to do that
it's
one.
Essentially,
you know?
A concussion for your computer.
It's
at least the hard drive's apart.
It's essentially amnesia for your computer. Is really what it is. Anything that happens to be dynamic at the moment won't be in normal condition when you restart.
According to that, what it's saying.
Well, part of your file system is always in active memory in Linux.
Oh, and then it has to write back.
Yeah,
that's right.
It doesn't, depending on your settings here, what is it, the dirty write backs, or what's the settings? Because it stores all the changes to your file system are stored in memory until those changes are flushed out to the system, and it doesn't do that automatically. It only flushes the changes every whatever you have it.
Yeah, I don't know the particulars. I mean, you know, but that's generally what it is.
Because that's a big power consumer for laptops, so a lot of the laptop configurations have write-backs turned way down, so that it's not accessing the disk all the time.
Well, the thing about that too, if you turn it off, pull plug by accident with your software,
then
you might not have got your data written. This properly, or it might have been in the middle of writing.
Right, it's more likely that.
Even with the journaled file systems, they say that they're not 100%. They're really close, but they're not 100%. Depending on when it shuts down, you could corrupt your data. I've experienced that with Windows multiple times.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
What was that thing you used to have to add for? There was some command you had to add to shut. I forget it. What was it? Something about flushing some cache memory. Command smart drive or something was called. I think you had in Windows a smart drive. You had to always make sure that it wrote to disk before it would shut down. It was some. This was the earlier versions of Windows.
Yeah. I remember
that
something like that.
Yeah.
Well, it's similar to that. Is what Linux is doing. It doesn't write everything back.
Right.
Oh, this is all messed up now.
You know, recording.
Oh yeah, I'm gonna shut it off though. So. No one's listening.
Yeah.
Oh
really?
Probably the same person just airing out.
The session was still open for a little bit while you're relogging.
Now don't forget to rename that before you start the stream back up. I almost did that. Make sure you add the date.
Thank you for listening to Hack Republic Radio. HPR is sponsored by Caro.net, so head on over to caro.net for all your hosting needs.